This is Romans 8:12-17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God.
Hallelujah. All right, are you ready? This morning we're continuing our sermon series on the Holy Spirit, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our basic premise is that if we see the Holy Spirit working throughout Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we are convinced that the Holy Spirit is still working today. And in fact, to me, it's obvious that the Holy Spirit has to be working today. That's the very presence of God today on the earth, right? I mean, you wouldn't even know Jesus today if the Holy Spirit hadn't shown him to you, right? So we believe that if the Spirit did it then the Spirit can do it now. That as we read the stories and see the activity of the Holy Spirit throughout the Scriptures, we can believe God to see that the Holy Spirit working again today. Amen? So last week, Anya spoke about the gifts of the Spirit. And some of those gifts have to do more with how the Holy Spirit speaks through us to others, like prophecy or words of wisdom, that kind of thing. But today, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So not how that last week was more about what the Holy Spirit does through us. You getting this? But this week, we're talking about how the Spirit speaks to us. So before we dive into this, I want to be honest. This can get a little bit messy. When we try to open our hearts and our minds to the workings of the Holy Spirit, there's a potential for many disasters to occur. But I want to encourage us to press into it anyway. Sometimes, and this is how where it gets messy, because sometimes we are simply being moved by our emotions. We're being moved by our emotions, but we tend to blame, I'll say, in some cases, the Holy Spirit for those emotions. We believe it's the work of the Spirit, and not necessarily. I believe that when the Spirit works, it can be an emotional experience, but not necessarily, that doesn't guarantee it. Other times, we've been so impacted by our hurts, our sins, our brokenness, or our own fleshly desires that we also might kind of miss the mark when it comes to being led by the Spirit, right? We got so much stuff and junk going on in our own lives that it's difficult for us to really discern what God is saying. Does that make sense? Okay. So some people have been adversely affected and adversely impacted by fleshly expressions that are supposedly the work of the Spirit, and they're no longer open to the leading of the Spirit at all. You know, I've seen some things on Christian television sometimes, not saying all Christian television is bad. But, you know, and I don't know if I ever shared this before, but I remember this one time where, you know, this guy was like up preaching away and about how you can be filled with the Spirit. And some lady comes running forward and she's like, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And the guy takes his hand and boom, you know, hits her like right in the forehead. She falls backwards on the ground and he goes, she got what she wanted, you know. And I'm like, okay, I don't know that guy, so maybe I shouldn't judge. But we see stuff like that, and for some, it's like, I don't want anything to do with that. That's not what we're talking about. And because being led by the Spirit, or not being led by the Spirit, that's next week. Opening our hearts up to being heard by, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit is critical in the Christian life. It's an important subject for today, and let me explain why real quick. Because first of all, and this does touch on Tony's message a little bit, the Scripture says that all, that was just read, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. How can you be led by the Spirit of God if you don't hear the Spirit of God? You need directions. You need your marching orders, so to speak. And all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So this is important for us to consider, and that is the scripture that was read out of Romans 8, 12 through 17. Also, it's in that passage, it says that, well, I'm just going to read the whole thing again, so it probably is going to pop up here. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So see, this is the thing. This is why listening to the Holy Spirit is so critical, because we can either listen to our flesh, our own self, what we think is the best thing to do in our own reasoning. I'm not saying you don't use your reasoning, but we can listen to all that stuff, even our own emotions. And that's it. And the end of that is death. It does not bring good fruit into our lives. But if we are led by the Spirit of God, if we are listening to God and doing and living the way God has instructed us and told us to live, then we are children of God. Is this making sense to you? Amen? Okay, so then it goes on to say, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness to our human spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. So my point in all this is that our whole entire Christian experience began with what? We heard the Spirit. We heard the Spirit call and we responded. And then the Spirit of God bore witness to us. We knew in our hearts, because of what the Holy Spirit was saying and doing, that we are children of God. Amen. So this idea of listening to the Holy Spirit is still vital for us today. And I understand that we may have to navigate through some of the challenges of that, and even some of the mistakes that we might make, and the misunderstandings that we have, or the things that we've seen that we want nothing to do with. But it is vital that we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is speaking today. In fact, I've just kind of already said this in a sense, but if we deny that God is still speaking, then I would say you can't be saved. You have to hear God, the Spirit of God, in some way speak to you and convict you of your sin so that you repent and turn your heart over to Jesus Christ. So how does the Holy Spirit do this? Now, I am not going to sit here and tell you that in the next, 90 minutes that I'll be speaking, somebody got the joke. Thank you. Okay, some of you started to panic. Some of you started moving towards the door. I will not be going 90 minutes. But there's no way in a sermon that I'm going to exhaust all the different ways that God speaks, or the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. But I'm going to throw out a few. The first one is probably the most obvious one of all. We've talked about it many times, but I just want to look at it again today. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God, through the Bible, through the Scriptures. As I've said many, many times here, that's the sure word of the Holy Spirit. You study the Word of God, and God will speak to us through that. So, I'd like to just look at today at Acts chapter 2, just because it's a little different approach to something I've said many, many times. And in Acts chapter 2, first we have the Holy Spirit. What happens? Holy Spirit comes and falls on the 120 that are praying, right? And they're fire and then they start speaking in tongues, and it gets all kind of crazy, and it gathers a crowd of people together. And when the crowd comes together, then Paul preaches a sermon to them. And what made up the bulk of his message there in Acts chapter 2? You know what it was? It was Scripture. He utilized Scripture, Joel 2, 28 to 32, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, and Psalm 110, verse 1. And then what followed the Spirit-filled preaching of God's Word? It says the people listening were cut to the heart. So the Word of God, through Peter, spoke to those who were listening, cut them to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the other apostles, what should we do? What is our response supposed to be? And that day, the Holy Spirit, utilizing the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, 3,000 people came to faith in Christ in that one day. So God, the Holy Spirit, still utilizes the Bible today to speak to us. If we are struggling or just need guidance, I encourage you. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is I'm going to get into some a little more mystical things, but the Bible is right there. You can study it and read it, and God can speak you through it at any point in time. And I encourage you, if you are struggling or just need guidance, look first to the Word. But don't look to the Word just like as an exercise, but with a posture of listening, with an open heart that says, God, speak to me. And often the answers to our questions or concerns, they're clearly addressed in Scripture right there. And you may say, well, I don't know where to look in the Bible for my questions or concerns. Well, there's this incredible thing that's kind of come out over the last few years. It's called Google. Literally, Bible verses on depression, Bible verses on guidance, Bible verses on all kinds. You just type in whatever it is you're concerned about, and it'll just pull, and then usually what comes up on mine is, 15 verses on this, and this other page, 20 verses on this, And see, it's not even hard. But I think it's important for each and every Christian to spend as much quality time as they can in loading up on the Word of God, to just fill your mind with Scripture. And if you do, then the Holy Spirit can bring that back to your mind when you need it most. I mean, I've had experiences where, and I'm talking with somebody, and just in that moment, a verse just comes into my heart. And I just know it's right there. It's just because it's been rolling around in there for a long time, and I maybe hadn't even thought about it for a long time, but there it goes, and it then speaks. So let the Word of God speak to you. That's the first thing I'd share today. All right? Ready to keep going? All right, the second thing is the way that God speaks, and this, again, I will not spend a lot of time with this because Tony's going to be talking about this next week. But there's a sense of being a leading or a prompting, you could say, of the Spirit will come. And I'm just thinking, I didn't ask her permission, and so Catherine will have to forgive me here. But, and Yishi's sitting right here, so I got a double whammy. I'll get in trouble from both of them here later. But Catherine is working out at the Blue House, which is a CrossFit gym, and she saw Yishi. And she said, and then this word just came into her heart, church. Just one word. I mean, that's good. I can't believe it. I'd be wanting to say 10,000 words, right? And she walked, and she felt that was for you. She walked up to her, right? This all happened, right? Okay. Okay. And so she walked up to her, and she just said, church? And she said something like, I love church. And then now, look, here she is. So you can, that's great. That's, and the reason I share that, and again, if I'm in trouble with you ladies, you just talk to me later, okay? So we'll work it out. But the point is, that was a prompting. Catherine just felt a prompting in her heart that she somehow recognized was just this Holy Spirit speaking to her. And she acted on it, and then, look what happened. And I will just say this, Yishi, we're so glad that you're here. Yeah, so we're so glad that you're here. So this is how the Spirit can work. A couple passages real quick. One is from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, and when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, I think that's our spiritual ears, right? There's this sense of this is the, then we hear, if we're listening, because you can't hear, as Larissa said earlier, if you're making a bunch of noise or if there's a bunch of noise in your own head, you can't hear that voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. We're going to come back to that later. Jesus also was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, a leading, a prompting. So it can feel like a gentle nudge. Or sometimes with me, because I'm not very good with gentle nudges, God has to just give me a quick kick in the rear end, right, to get me moving. But a stronger sense of urging. I know sometimes I've just felt my heartbeat increase, and I just know I'm supposed to say something or do something. But as we lean into living a Spirit-filled life, we'll grow in our recognition of these promptings. And, you know, and sometimes you may feel a prompting and you act on that prompting and it's just like, oops, that didn't seem to go so well. But don't give up. Don't let that discourage you. So just keep asking God to speak to you. The next thing that I want to talk about, and this, again, these are just realities, and I've got examples I want to share with you, but I do believe that God speaks through dreams and through visions and through prophetic words. I've kind of lumped them together here. Dreams, visions, and prophetic words. And there are multiple biblical accounts of all each one of these three. Each one is there in Scripture over and over again. And I believe that if God did it then God can do it now, right? Yeah. If the Spirit of God spoke through dreams and visions, in fact, Joel prophesied this, then I believe he does it today. And while I'm not a super mystical guy, I'm a pretty practical guy. But I've had a few over the years, so I don't have this long list. I'm not the kind of guy, people sometimes say, oh, I had a dream, you know, almost like every week or something, or I had a vision. That's not the case for me. I could probably count on one hand the dreams and visions specifically that I've personally had, maybe on two fingers even. But one thing I wanted to give, and Phil, if you could just kind of come on up here. So the interesting thing is my life group on Thursdays, we had a meal this last Thursday together, and we were just kind of sharing our stories. And Philip shared something with me that that I'd never even heard before. And it had to do with a dream. And I'm telling you, Philip is about the most down-to-earth guy you can meet. All right? But go ahead, Phil. Come on up and share about the dream that you had and how it impacted you.
Yeah. So first, I'll mention that in a lot of my young adult life, so for many years, actually, I kind of had this almost antagonistic relationship with God sometimes. Like, anytime something bad happened to me, I always felt like either that meant God was being cruel and was just being mean to me for no reason, or I had done something wrong and God was punishing me. And this was kind of something I struggled with for many years, and until one night I had a dream. And in this dream, there was a man and a woman who went into a cave, and the man left the woman behind and actually sealed the cave shut. So this woman was stuck in this cold, like, hard cave. But the reason why they did that, it was something that they had planned to do because it was actually for the woman's safety. The man was going to go and, I don't know, do something to make things safe for the woman outside of the cave. And in particular, the man knew that the woman would be safe because he himself had actually been in this cave before. And so then waking up, fortunately, God also gave me an interpretation for the dream. I felt that I was the woman and the man was God, kind of mirroring how, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. And so I felt like what he was saying is that sometimes when you go through hard times, or when I go through hard times, it's not because God's punishing me. It's not because God's cruel. It's actually really probably for my own safety. I don't know exactly how that all works. But yeah, just that sometimes it's not really either of our faults. There's more, you know, things going on in this world. And so, yeah, since then, I guess my relationship with God has been much better. I haven't been feeling this need to always try to figure out why bad things are happening, because it's just like, yeah, it could just be this is God still just doing what he can to help protect me. So
that's great. Thank you, Phil. Take it with you. So there's an example, again, from probably about the most practical-minded person you could, imagine, where God spoke to him through a dream. And it changed his life. I mean, it changed his life. And, you know, I don't know how long ago that was, but I've seen that change, even, in him. So that's awesome. A couple years ago? So, and then, I did have a vision. I'm not going to go into it. The one that was very powerful, I won't go into all the details of it at all, but while I was in Central America, and that vision, it was a vision. It was in the context of this incredible worship experience with a small group of people, and where I just felt the heavens opened up and God showed me some things. And that vision actually is probably why I'm standing before you here today. That was a long time ago now, but it was clear that God was saying I was to be in a city and I was to preach the gospel. And again, that's the very short version of that. And I wasn't asking for a vision. I was just in this posture of worship and listening to God. And God clearly spoke to me. And then another time, and I didn't ask his permission for this either, but one time I was kind of going through a lot of stuff and feeling a whole lot of pressure, some weight of responsibilities as both a pastor here and I think in my responsibilities in the conference. And this is a while ago, but a group here, and Tony was a part of that group, and Tony Guys. And he just spoke to me, and he just said this. He said, "Kelly, when God looks at you, he doesn't see a pastor. He doesn't see some big leader. He sees his son." And when he spoke that, it just changed my life. It's like all these burdens just lifted off of me. And I'm like, I'm a son. So if you're tracking here, God speaks today. And he sometimes does speak through dreams, visions, or prophetic words. The other way, and this is kind of a little bit redundant, and then we'll be moving towards the end here, but God also speaks through people. The Holy Spirit will speak to you through people. This is kind of the opposite of what Anya was saying yesterday, right? God was saying we seek the gifts and we tend to speak. We want to minister to others, but sometimes we need to allow others to minister to us, allow people to speak into our lives. And this may happen in a conversation or with someone when you least expect it. So I'm going to share another little story here. I was a part of this Academy of Spiritual Formation, and we were learning kind of in-depth stuff about the Myers-Briggs. I don't know how many of you know about the Myers-Briggs, but in the Myers-Briggs, I'm an extroverted, sensing, thinking, judging, okay? So obviously you know I'm extroverted, right? And then I take in information from the outside. I'm not a real internal person. And then I tend to think things through. I tend to be more of a mind person, although I appreciate the emotions. And then I'm pretty black and white when it comes right down to it. I've worked harder at being not so black and white, but my natural tendency. So we're learning all this stuff, and I went up. We did this assessment, and I went up to the guy who was teaching it, who I know is a friend, and he's a friend of mine. And I said, you know, over the years, especially since I've been a pastor, the thinking side compared to the feeling side has shifted. And I seem to be going more and more over to the feeling side. And he looked at me, and this is all he said. He said, "You must be tired." And when he said that, I almost burst into tears. Because for years in ministry, my tendency is towards emotional burnout. I get emotionally overwhelmed. And why is that? Because I'm a thinker. I tend to work more with the mind. It's even like in this heat. It's a thinking thing for me. It's like mind over matter, man. It's not going to change. You got to deal with it. That kind of stuff. That's my natural tendency. But when he said to me, "You must be tired," it was like the very voice of God. And I made some adjustments from that point on, maybe I've not noticed it, but even in how I pastor and how I work with people, like I allow myself more thinking time, which for me translates into reading. And ever since that time, I have done so much more reading, because reading gives me life. Reading recharges me. Reading helps me feel for you. It does. And so it was God's word to me. God spoke to me through a person. And it was so clear. And I could tell you hundreds of examples of that. It can happen in worship services, someone approaching you with a word, which always needs to be tested, right? Or through preaching, hopefully, sometimes. Amen? Right? Come on. Oh, man, that was bad, man. That was not encouraging. All right. So hopefully through the speaking and preaching of the Word of God, at least when Anya does it, right? Yeah, then you hear her. All right. Then this. Okay, good. So going forward, I just want to invite you to a few things really quickly. So try to hang with me and just because this is the application side. This is what I want to encourage you to do when it comes to listening to the Holy Spirit. First, just cultivate a posture of listening. A posture of listening. Job 33:14 says this, "God is always speaking, now one way and now another." I think I'm quoting a little different version than what's up. "Now one way or now another." It's we are the ones who don't perceive it. God is continuously speaking, but we don't perceive it. And you know what? It's because we have not cultivated the art of listening. And this is the same with God as it is with one another. And listen, I know the problem. I know what it's like. I'm just being honest, to have someone talking to me, but I'm not listening, really. My mind is filled with all the things that I need to do, or all the responsibilities that I have, or all whatever is all that stuff that's going on in my head. And you've been around people, you've maybe even experienced it with me. You've been around people that you know do not, they're not listening to you. You talk, they're not listening. And that is tough, just flipping it around. Well, just think, and God's not one who's going to, you know, like, oh, man, they're not listening. But I think he wishes we would. And you, just like you can cultivate in human relationships, you can learn how to be a better listener. You can do this with God. You can cultivate the art of listening. And so, there's just not time. This is a whole other sermon in a sense. But there's even some good books out there that don't even have to be Christian books. I'm just talking about the general principle of listening and applying that to your relationship with God. It's one of the simple ways, just real quick for something practical, is when you sit down to read the Bible, just ask God. It's a simple thing. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me through the words today, through the word. Help me to stay focused. And when you get unfocused, you just refocus again. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Help me to listen. I think a humble heart before God is more prone to hearing and listening to what God is saying. I think part of the reason we're not listening is because we don't want to hear what God has to say, quite frankly. We don't really want to know. We just want to do our own thing. So yeah, God, you're not going to hear much from God. But a humble heart says, God, speak to me. I need you. I need your word. I need to know what you're saying. The second thing is, I just want to encourage you that while you may make some mistakes along the way, don't give up. Don't give up on listening to God, even if you don't feel like you hear from God very often. I can't say that I don't know that I hear from God, you know, every day. Even every time I read the Bible, I can't say, oh man, God spoke to me today. But I just keep being in that place. The third thing is I just want to encourage you to surrender yourself daily to the Lord and bring all your pain and sin to God and allow God to heal and forgive. Because the clearer your heart is, the easier it is to discern the ways of the Spirit. When you're dealing with, you know, and we all have stuff, but just hear me. Just every day, bring your heart to God. Take the things that are bothering you, the hurt that's there, the pain in your life, or whatever it is that's going on, the concerns, the mind full of other thoughts, and just surrender them to God. Because I know when I'm dealing with, you know, when I get all hurt about something or somebody's done something and I'm all upset about it, I'm not listening very well. Can you relate to that? Why am I not listening very well? Because I'm too busy just rehearsing my own garbage. I'm just rehearsing my own hurt. And that hurt's very real. I'm not saying it's not. I'm a real person. I've been actually deeply hurt at different times. But the problem is, if I keep just playing that tape over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, now try to talk to me over and over and over and over. Come on, talk to me over and over and over. You can't hear. So we have to take that time, that posture, that settling down so that we can hear for God and allow God to heal and to bring us to this place of wholeness. The last thing I'll just say is that there's safety in genuine Christian community. If you don't know if something's from God, pray with some friends about it, some fellow Christians. Get their feedback. Hear what they have to say. Take it into consideration. You also, by the way, have 2,000 years of Christian history and witness that you can go to see if you're on the right track, which we don't utilize nearly enough. People get so off base and they don't need to, because we have an orthodox faith that has been around for 2,000 years. Like, there's some things that we're debating today that are really not, shouldn't even be debated. Because they've never been right. It's never been right. Not for 2,000 years. There's been a history and testimony of the Holy Spirit in the church. And it would do us well to look back and to see what others have said. Or to go to a friend and ask them to pray with you. And often when I do that, I receive confirmation of some way, either for or against what I may think is God's leading. What we're going to do today, I'm going to pray for you here, but we're going to allow you a couple of minutes. And what I want to just encourage you to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Now, well, let me just say, do you need guidance, clarification, healing? Is there someone that you're concerned for? You just need an assurance, an assuring word that God is working in their lives? Now, I'm not saying that you may get an answer today. You may not. I'm not going to try to drum something up or, you know, I don't know what God will do. But the main reason I'm doing this is to just give you an opportunity today. I hope you'll do it tomorrow and the next day and continually. But to just posture yourself. Do you get what I'm saying by posture? I'm just inviting you in just a minute or two to, in a sense, you don't have to put your hands up in the air, but maybe you would. And just say, I'm here, Lord. I'm listening. Remove those things that block me from hearing you. Help me. Whatever your cry is, just take a few moments to do that, and then we'll sing our last song together. Give us the heart of Samuel, the prophet, who with the encouragement of Eli said these words to you. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Help us, God. Teach us how to position ourselves and to posture our hearts, to quiet our minds so that we can hear you. When we read the scriptures, we might understand what they say, what they're saying to us, that when we listen to a sermon or someone encourages us or we have a dream or a vision or whatever it might be, God, that we hear your voice. We need you. We want to hear you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're your children, Lord. Want to listen and hear your voice. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are still speaking today.